And we have over here that he's bringing out, it's day 8. Let's start from day 8. We did this yesterday, but let's just review her up from yesterday. It's day 8, Uvayam HaShemi on day 8. Yikach, Shnei Chavasim Meir Tumimim, Uvachav Sachas, Vashnasa Tumima, Ushloisha Eshrenim Serles, Mincha B'lul, Hashem Erlo Gecha Shama. We learned this yesterday, we did it yesterday. It's now day 8. And again, let's review the sequence. This Mitzayra, he's Yoshev Mechutz L'Sholosh Machanais. One day the Kohen gets a call. The Mitzayra is calling. He's calling on a smartphone and he says, guess what? My Tzaras disappeared. Come and be Metaher me. So they meet. They meet some Mechutz L'Gimel Machanais. The Kohen comes and the Kohen takes a look and the Kohen says, indeed, you are correct. The Tzaras is no longer. You are Tohar. Immediately, the Mitzayra gets a hold of two birds, the Eitz Erez, the Ezov Shni Talas. He takes the Eitz Erez, the Ezov, and the Shni Talas, and he ties it.
I want this question. These days, these are active. Let's say Shabbos comes out the 7th day, Shabbos comes out the 8th day. The requirement of those days, Shabbos, you postpone it or delay
it? These are mamish, your question is mamish in the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah. Once upon a time, I learned Masecht in the Goyim. I'm very proud. It was one of the hardest things I ever learned. I think now what I'm learning is even harder now. Learning Oilos. But exactly the cycle, the days, when it comes out on Shabbos, Yom HaShvi, Yom HaShmini, how all of these things come out. Yeah, so these are all mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah. You don't do this on Shabbos. If the seventh day,
you do not do it on Shabbos.
The Kohen does not look. The Kohen does not inspect the person on Shabbos. If the person calls the Kohen Friday, 5 minutes before Shabbos, and he says, "Guess what? The tzaras went away." The Kohen says, "I'm sorry, it's 5 minutes to Shabbos. I can't come to you now. The time I walk to you, it'll be after Shkia, and therefore you have no choice to wait until Sunday." Until Sunday morning, because you don't look at, I don't think you look at Negoim by night. We learned that Negoim are only this paskind by sunlight, not electricity. Fluorescent bulbs are no good, LEDs are no good, incandescent is no good. You only can do it by daylight. So the next opportunity will be Sunday. Now the next opportunity is going to be Sunday. You're asking a good question. So what then what is the with it? So that what is Yom HaShemini? That's going to be, it's going to be next Sunday. So, you know, it's very, you're making a very interesting point, Mr. Rappaport. Because why does the Torah demand Vayom HaShmini on day 8? It's a little bit bizarre. I think I mentioned yesterday that we have three parashios in a row where number 8 is prominent. Parasha Shmini, Vayhi Vayom HaShmini Kar Moshe Li Arnu Levanu Lezikne Yisrael. We have Parashas Tazria. Uvayom HaShmini Yimol B'sar Or Losoi. And this week's parasha, Parashas Mitzayra, we wait, and when the Kohen declares the person to be Tohar, he counts exactly 8 days. Today is day number 1. 8 days later, he does this procedure. So, you know, you always wonder, what's the why? Well, I mean, Bishlam, I understand why you're going to do it on day 8, the Mishkan. The Mishkan was erected by Yom HaShmini. I understand because 8, you know, Chanukah, 8 is L'malo Derech HaTeva. You know, the Mishkan, Hashem Shechin, is coming down to this world. This is something which is super, very, very special. Bris Milah, we all know, 8, you know, the same reasons. But a Mitzayra? Why is the process of the Mitzayra taking place on day 8? I mean, the Mitzayra is not a tzaddikal. The Mitzayra did a very big Avera. So why are we giving him such chashivas that we should go into his process of tar bringing the korbanos, the korban shlamim, the korban ashim, the korban chatas? Why should that take place on day 8? So what are you going to answer? Hagufa, a person who did teshuva, and Hashem accepted the teshuva. The proof being that Hashem took away the tzaras, he's mamish like a malach. He deserves a day 8. It's like they know all the milas of Bris Milah, the 13 Brisois. He's like the Mishkan is being rebuilt. It's a very special thing, right? I think someone would probably, if you look at the Mefarshim, they'll probably say that. But Mr. Rappaport, you have been aroused something that is very practical. Because what happens if the Mitzvah is healed on Sunday? Whether he calls up the Kohen Sunday morning. Guess what? Rabbi Kohen, guess what? My tzaras has left me. Please come immediately to my house and declare me tohar. The Kohen does his duty. He immediately goes to visit the Metzora. Indeed, the tzaras has disappeared. The Kohen immediately says, you are tohar. Now is day one. He has to shave off all of his hair. He has to go to the mikvah, put his clothing in the mikvah. He puts the clothing back on, and he is allowed to go home. The only thing he's not allowed to do is be with his wife. And today is day one. And now on day eight, return to the Beis HaMikdash to bring your three korbanos. Eight? Day eight? The number eight is only reserved for holy people. The day eight is Hanukkah. The day eight is Bris Milah. The day eight is the day that Hashem brought his Shechina down to this world. This guy is a Mitzoyra. This guy's a Balavera. All of a sudden, you're giving him day eight? You know what the answer is? It's just very practical. Because if it was day seven, it would be Shabbos. So when you go and you have to wait 8 days, the Kohen is not going to inspect him on Shabbos. The only thing he'll inspect him on is during a weekday. And thus, 8 days later is the same day of the week. If it would be 7 days later, you'd be setting yourself up for a situation, as Mr. Rapport mentioned, where the Kohen's going to inspect him on Sunday, and then day seven is going to be Shabbos. And Shabbos, you can't bring the korbanos. So you're making its life complicated. It's like, you know, it's a letdown. Inui Hadin. Oh, I could bring my korbanos today, but they don't let me because it's Shabbos. It's like a letdown. You know what? You can't bring it anyway. Eight. There's a practical, simple reason why it's eight. Mr. Rapport, does that satisfy you to any degree?
I guess so. If that's the way it's going
to be. I'm right, because you're saying good. You're making a very good. This way, there's no hechatimsa where it can ever be on Shabbos. All right, so let's see. So Yom HaShemini, so now it's day eight. What does he do on day eight? He has to shave off again. Nochamo. He has to shave off all of his hair. He has to go to mikvah again. And today he brings to the Beis HaMikdash a whole collection of things. It costs a lot of money. You got to bring three animals. Two male sheep and one female. The female is going to be his karban chatas. The two males, one is going to be a karban shlamim. The other is going to be a karban osha. And the female has to be within its first year, which implies that the karban asham and the karban shlam do not need to be within their first year. He must bring to a company, he must bring three measures of flour. And whenever you bring flour, you automatically bring oil. As it says here, mincha bilula vashemen. So that means, and now in addition to the flour, the three measures of flour with its oil, he brings an additional loig of shemen. And this loig of shemen we're going to need to apply to his earlobe, to his ear, and to his big thumb and his big toe. And that's what it says. So we did this yesterday. Now we go to the next pasuk. Now we begin the procedure. He comes, and the Kohen stands, the ish, the Kohen, the mitaher. Okay, there are two different words. There's the mitaher and the mitaher. The mitaher is the Kohen who is providing, he's the shaliach to provide purity. The mitaher is the one that is being purified, the mitzayra. Ve'oisam, and them, who's them? The Kohen ha-mitaher is going to take the Eis Isha Mitaher V'Oisam, them. What is them? Them appears to be the three animals. The three animals. Lifnei Hashem, Pesach Oel Moed. Where is that? Shar Nikonar. Why Shar Nikonar? Because the Kohen is not allowed to enter into, the Mitzora is not allowed to enter into the Azora. Because what is the rule? The rule is a person that is called a Mechusar Kippurim may not enter into the Azor. What is a Mechusar Kippurim? A person who has done everything he is supposed to do with the exception of bringing the Korbanos. What is a classic example of a Mechusar Kippurim? A Yoledes, a woman who has given birth. So when a woman gives birth, she's Tameya, and then she goes to Mikvah. And then she's tahira for 33 days for a boy, and it was 66 for a girl. But during the time when she is even when she is tahira, it's still premature for her to bring the korbanos that she is required. until she brings those korbanos, she is forbidden to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. And likewise, she is forbidden to eat from Kodoshim, which would include, guess what, a Karban Pesach. A woman who gives birth. It's a very interesting concept. People don't talk about this. It's not a good time to give birth 40 days before Pesach or 80 days before Pesach for a nekeva, because then the woman is not able to eat from the Karban Pesach, and there's no Pesach Sheni. There is no Pesach Sheni. A woman who gives birth within 40 days of Pesach for a male, within 80 days of a female, it would appear to be clear that she does not get to eat, to participate in the Karban Pesach, and there is no Pesach Sheni for her. Because Pesach Sheni is only for a person who is Tomei Tumas Meis, Tumah due to contamination from in contact with the dead, not due to contamination of a contamination of Tumas Leida. So it would appear there would be no solution for that example. At any event, so therefore she's called this Mitzorah has the same status, that he has not yet brought his three korbanos, so he's not allowed to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Now that creates a very big problem, because he has to do on his three animals semicha. And number two, the Kohen has to apply to his ear, to his big thumb, his big toe, oil. And if he is in a state where he's not allowed to enter into the Beis HaMikdash, how then will this be done? So we have to come on to the solution, which the word is going to talk about, which is called Bia Bevixas Loishma Bia. That what he does is he stands by the entranceway to the Beis HaMikdash, called Shai Nikonar, and he puts his hands inside to the Beis HaMikdash, and he rests his hands on the animal to do smicha. This is not considered to be a violation of entering into the Mikdash in a state of Mechusar Kippurim, because he did not come in with his entire body. He only put in his hands. So putting in your hands only a minority of your body, that is not a violation, but yet he has done smicha. And likewise, when the Kohen puts the oil, he just tilts his ear, the ear comes inside the doorway, and he puts the oil on his ear, but his body is not inside. And likewise, he puts out his thumb and his big toe, and they don't come inside. So therefore, he's not in violation, but yet the service has done to the part of the body that needs to be done to, while that part of the body is inside the Azara. So that's what it's over here. It says the Kohen will stand him, the Kohen Amater, as each Amater of Oysam and the animals, Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, by the Pesach, Oil Moed. Rashi, Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, Beshar Nikinar, Veloi Ba'azara Atzma. He may not enter the Azara, Lufi Shehud, Mechusar Kippurim, yet now you bring his Korbanos. Now, let's see what it says in the Targum. Targum, let's see. Targum Unkelis says, Vikim Kahana de Medake, the Kohen who will bring a purity, he will stand, he will position. Yos Gavra de Medake, the person that needs to become purified, Vios Hoin, them, Kodom Hashem, Bisra the gate, Mashkan, Zamna, the Mishkan, the Ohel Moed. The Moed means the temporary. The temporary structure. This is just a general word that the Targum always says. Targum always translates. It's consistent throughout the entire Chumash. The Ohel Moed, according to Rashi, means the tent of meeting. And according to the Unkelis, it means the Moed means for the time. The Ohel Moed was only a temporary structure that was always meant to be replaced by a permanent Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now we go to Pasuk 12. The Lokach HaKohen HaKev HaZachar is going to take one of the keves. Vikar V'Yisrael HaOsham. And he's going to offer it as a carbon Osham. V'Yisloik HaShomen V'Heinif Oysam T'nifal Lefnei Hashem. So over here, what comes first? It's telling us what comes first is there are three animals that have to be offered. There's the carbon Osham, the carbon Chatas, and the carbon Shomen. The first thing is the carbon Osham. He takes the carbon asham, and he and the Kohen takes the one keves and he brings it offering as a carbon asham, and also the loik shemen. And what he does is he waves them. Tenufa is he waves it in six directions, like a little of an esrog. What does Rashi say on this? Let's see the Rashi first. Rashi says, "V'hekrev oisoy le'asham yakrivenu le'soich azara in the azar l'shem asham lohanif shuhutan tenufa choyi." That's the wave when the animal is alive. Now this is a very interesting translation. Rashi says, when it says v'hekrev, it does not mean that you offer it yet as a sacrifice. Ordinarily, the word v'hekrev means you take out the knife and you do shchita, kabbalah, hoylach, hazrika. Not in this instance. In this instance, the word v'hekrev means that he takes the animal and he brings it, he presents it. He has three animals, he designates it at this moment as a carbon asham, and he brings it to the gate where the mitzvah is standing, and he waves the animal when it's alive. So the Kohen waves. It says over here in the Pasuk, literally the only one that waves is the Kohen. He waves it. And he waves the oil in six directions. What does Uncle say? The Yisav Kahano Yos Imra, he takes the Imracha, the one sheep. The Karev Yosela, and he offers, he brings it close. Le Ashamo, as a carbon Asham. The Yos Luga, the loik, the Mishchav, the oil. The rim ois yoshoin or arama or waving before Hashem. Pasik Yud Gimel. V'shachar hakeves. Now he takes it back. Because when he is standing over here by the gate, that's not on the north side. We have to remember that a carbon asham is kodshei kodoshim. And kodshei kodoshim must be slaughtered specifically on the north side of the azara. He only brought it to the center in order to wave, and that, I guess, maybe it means is that the person, the mitzvah, should see it being waved. But after they do the waving, he now takes it, and he takes it to the north side, and he does a shchita. The shachales hakeves b'mokam in the place of shachales hachatas, v'yesa oila. What is a chatas, an oila, and ashma v'n kamen? They are all kodshei kodoshim, in contrast to kodshim kalim. And kodshei kodoshim have to be slaughtered on the north side. B'mkoim ha-kodesh, in the holy place, inside. Ki, why, kachatos, because ha-osham hu la-kohen, translate backwards. The osham is just like a carbon chatos. To the kohen is kodesh kodoshim hu, and therefore it must be slaughtered in the correct location. Rashi, on this pasuk says, v'shochat, I have a lot of Rashi's over here, b'mkoim ha-shor yishchat al yerech ha-mizbeach bat-sofoin. He now takes it to the north side of the mizbeach. Now, Rashi asks a question. I don't need the pasuk to tell me that. We already learned this. We learned this halacha back in Parashas Vayikra. When you bring a carbon asham, or maybe Vatzav, I don't remember which parasha we learned this. Either Vayikra or Vatzav, when you bring a carbon asham, the carbon asham is kodesh kodashim, and automatically we know every carbon asham is slaughtered on the north side. So the question is, why here is the pasuk running an entire pasuk, going out of its way to reveal to us the proper location for the shechita of the carbon asham? See, the answer is, this is shiyotza zeh michlal ashamas lidon behamada yachol tehei shchitasa b'makom hamada sekach nema v'shachem b'makom asher yishchat. This is one of the yud gimel midos she'atayra nedreshes that we say every single day in davening. Dava shaya bichlaloi v'yotza menachlal lidon. Badavar hechadosh, I atar reshay lehashiva lichlolo ad shiachzerenu hakasov b'feirush. Okay, we say that every day in davening. What does that mean? You have something that's part of a set. Asham is part of the klal, the set of kodshei kodashim, which must be offered on the north side. But what happens if something in the set leaves the set to be engaged in something novel? Like this example, where we're taking this asham, we're bringing it to Shar Nikinor on the east side of the Azara, in the center. It's in the center, and we're going to be doing something novel. We're going to wave it. We don't ordinarily do this. You don't wave a whole animal, a living animal. You don't do that ordinarily. You don't take it to the Shar Nikinor. So when you have something which is really kodesh kodashim, which really should have shchita on the north side, but now it's yotza, it has departed from the mold, lidon, to engage in an activity that is novel, that's it, you're out. Once you're out, you don't go back in so quickly. Now, you can't go back into the set of rule of Kodesh HaKodeshim until the Pasuk explicitly tells you, get back where you belong. And this Pasuk number 13 is doing exactly that. Now that in Pasuk 12, it was Yatzel Lidoin Ba'adavar HaKodesh, Pasuk Yud Gimel is telling it, get back where you belong. You're Kodesh HaKodeshim. And therefore, you have to have Shechita Batzofayim. Just because you have a novel halacha, good for you. But now we're going back, we're returning to what you're supposed to do on the north side. Okay, this is a very important Rashi. Al Yerech, I'll read it one more time. Al Yerech, HaMizbech, on the north side. Uma Talmud, what's the Chiddush? For like, V'an Emar, B'toras Osham, B'parash HaSav, Es Aron, She Osham, Ton, Shechita Bat Sofen. Lefi, the answer is, She Yasel Zeh B'chlal HaShamas, it left the Klal of HaShamas, Lidon B'hamoda, that it should stand on the east, on Shar Nikanor, on the east side, away from the Mizbeach, in order that it should stand there, and then you should do Tenufa. Yachal, I would think, it's not going to return to the general rule that Kodesh HaKodeshim have to be slaughtered on the north of the Mizbeach. That is why we need the entire Pasuk 13 to teach us, Kachnemar V'shachat B'mkoyim Asher Yishchat. Then it says, Ki kechatas ha'asham, ki kechol hachatois ha'asham hazeh. This carbon osham is identical to a carbon chatos. An osham and a chatos are basically almost the same. B'chol avodos hatluyos b'koin, all of the avodos that you need to koin, chush v'osham zel l'chatos, shalot ha'mahol v'yotzu d'omay m'chlal shor ha'shamas litim altunuch ha'b'uvahimes. Again, another return to the rule. Why? Because there's another unique halach that with regard to this osham. The blood of this osham, in addition to the Torah telling that you should put on the mizbeach, you take some of its blood and you apply it to the ear, the big toe, the big thumb of the mitzvah. So I may be misled to believe that just like you do this, you do something different by putting its blood on the person. So again, maybe its blood does not need to be put on the mizbeach. How do you know that it's still called the carbon osham? You do all the following, all the regular rules. It's because of this pasuk is returning into the cloud. Again, b'chol avodas hatluyas b'chayin hashuv l'osham zelichatas shloit ham don kosehol says v'yatzam dama b'chlal shara shomais linasein al tunach put on the ear uvahoynois lo yeton matan dama veimudim gamay mizbeach. Maybe it's blood and it's fats do not need to be put on the mizbeach lekach nemar. That is why we need this pasuk to teach you ki kechatas ha'osham hu l'kayin. It's the same thing. I would think that the blood should be put on top of the mizbeach. Tamaloymar, no, it's called Tamaloymar. What does it say over here in the pasuk? It says over in this pasuk. Ki kachatos ha'oshem ulakoyin kodesh kodoshim hu. There's another pasuk. V'shocha. That's going to be later on. Okay, there's another pasuk. But in other words, an osham, the blood, is not applied to the corners of the mizbeach. The only animal which you go up, you apply the blood to the top corners of the mizbeach, it's only a carbon chatos. All of the other carbonos, you apply the blood on when you're standing on the ground of the azara, and you throw it. You apply it by throwing it on the two corners of the mizbeach. A carbon osham, its blood does not go on the top four corners. A carbon chatos, you stand on the soivev, and you delicately apply the blood. You dip a finger into a bowl of blood, and you delicately touch the corner of the mizbeach four times, the four corners. A carbon osham and a carbon shlamim, and many other carbonos, carbon oila, you don't do that. You stand on the ground of the azara, you go near the mizbeach, you take a bucket of blood, and you splash. You don't put your finger into the bucket and delicately apply it to the walls of the mizbeach. You take the bucket and you thrust it with force, sprinkle. That's what it's called, sprinkling, but it's not really sprinkling. It's zurika. Zurika literally means throwing. You throw. You throw the blood on two of the four corners of the Mizbeach, and do it on the corners so the blood splashes on two sides, and that way the blood is on the four sides. The only time you have sprinkling is on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh and he dips his finger into a bowl of blood and he flicks it. That's called sprinkling. That's what we call sprinkling. He does that eight times, the machat, the par, eight times with the dam, with the ayil, and he does it again, 24 sprinklings, 24 times, and then he does another seven times for a grand total. Then he does it. He sprinkles again, but he puts in the corners again. So he does it. He puts on the mizbech hazov. All right, but let's leave that out. So there are different ways you apply blood. Then when it comes to Karban Pesach, none of the above. Karban Pesach, you do what's called shficha. You pour the blood delicately on the foundation of the Mizbeach on one side. And the blood trickles into the shitsim. So there are many different types of applications that are used with regard to blood. There is nesina, a delicate application with your finger into the on the corners. There is something called a zurika, a throwing. Most kabbalists have zurika on the bottom. There's something called hazah, sprinkling, and that's done primarily in Yom Kippur. And then there's something called shaficha, pouring the blood on the foundation. That's done by a carbon toida and by the carbon pesach. And then, is there anything else that I'm missing about how, from besides those four? Is there another way? Birds, right? A bird. The blood of a bird is a difference between a chatas and an oila. One of them, you take the neck of the animal and you bang
Don't
it.
Don't you bang it against the wall of the mizbeach?
By a bird, right. That's one. Smash it. You smash it. You first kill it by putting your thumb into the bat's neck. Then you hold it and you press it. You press it against the wall of the mizbeach. And by the other one, you don't. One, there's an oil in the chatas. Other one is like you take its neck like a garden hose, and you hold it, and the blood spurts out on its own onto the wall. While there's some life in the bird, on the wall of the mizbeach, there's a difference between an oila and a chatas. One of them you spurt, you hold the neck and you let it spurt like a garden hose, and the other one you press it against the mizbeach. So sacha kol, we've given over here. Six different ways, techniques of applying blood to the mizbeach. Either it's going to be nesina, the nosan, that's only by a carbon chatas, or it's going to be vizorak, zrika, which is you're standing on the ground and you hold a bowl in your hand and you thrust it. You don't let go of the bowl. But you understand what you mean. You thrust it and you suddenly stop, and the force, the velocity, will cause the blood inside to keep on going, and it's going to splash upon the wall. Or you do hazah, sprinkling. You dip your finger in, you flick it towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, either inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim or outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then you do that also seven times on the surface of the Mizbeach Hazav, and you do four times. You actually dip your finger. You do a nesina. Okay, you do hazos, but you do hazan Yom Kippur with the blood on the surface of the Mizbeach Hazav, and then there's shaficha. None of the above. You take a bowl and you delicately pour the blood that's in the bowl on the foundation of the mizbeach, on the corner, and it goes and it falls into the sheath, into the drainage pipe on the foundation, and it goes down all the way down into this big cavity in the ground. Birds, either you're gonna put your thumb into its neck and take its life, and then you're gonna press it. You're gonna press the vein and the arteries in that area, you're gonna shove it against, squeeze it against the wall of the mizbeach. And another bird, I don't remember which one is the other one is a chatas, you hold the neck in your hand, and because the heart is still beating, the blood's gonna spurt out, and you just aim. You aim for the natural release of the blood that will come by itself without squeezing its neck against the Mizbeach, and you let the blood spurt on the wall of the Mizbeach. 6 different applications of blood on the Mizbeach. Okay, good chazar. So here, we have, over here, it's an important point of view, what it says over here in this pasuk. Rashi is not telling us, starting us off. This is another pasuk he's quoting, v'shochad b'mok masha yishchat. That's going to be later on. It's another pasuk, that's part 2, the sequel to this drasha. And that is, don't make a mistake. Again, this is a very nice Rashi, because this Rashi is a very rare practical halacha. I don't call it practical, but it's a something which we can relate to in the Kriyas HaTorah, regarding what we say in davening every single day. And that's davar shahoyo bechlal, v'yotza min achlal. It left the klal, lidoin bedavar hechadosh, to take on something new. So anytime you have a situation like that where someone's part of the club and they do something strange, they're expelled. You're not part of us anymore. Don't identify with us, because you have done something that we don't do, and we don't want you to go and associate with us anymore, unless the Torah explicitly says that you should. And that's exactly what's happening here. Ordinarily, a korban osham is a kodshei kodoshim. It's identical in many ways to other kodshei kodoshim. But there's something very unique about this korban osham, and that is we're going to do what's called hamoda. We're going to wave it on the east side, and we're going to take some of its blood, we're going to apply it to the Mitzvah. So because it's doing its own thing, we may be inclined to say that the animal, when you do the slaughter, you don't need to do it on the north, and you don't need to apply its blood like you would apply it to, as you would apply its blood to the, like a regular carbon asham. That is why we need 2 psukim to tell us, no, the asham should return back to where it came from. So I'll read that second Rashi again, because it's a very important Rashi. Ki kechato so asham, the chad is the asham. Ki kechol achatoi so asham hazeh, hu l'koin. What does that mean? B'chol avoidus tatulias b'koin, hu so asham zeh l'chatas. It's like whatever the koin needs to do, like a chatas. What do we mean? That the blood is going to be put al tunuch uvoinas. Don't think you don't have to go apply its blood to the mizbeach. Once the pasuk tells us that it's like a regular carbon chatos, that the blood must go on the Mizbeach, maybe that would mislead us to think that in this Osham, its blood is put on the top of the Mizbeach and not on the bottom of the Mizbeach, like a regular Korban Osham. That is why Tamalema are another Pasuk later on. Now, it is a little bit strange. What's strange over here is, why does the Pasuk say that this Chatos, this Osham, is like a Chatos? It should say, this Osham is like an Osham. You know, you have to go in 2 steps. Don't go make me misled that there should be something different about this. No, this is a regular carbon asham. So how does the pasuk express it? Oh, this asham is like a chatas. No, it's not. This asham is like an asham. You only want to borrow the carbon chatas with regard to one halacha, that it's kodshei kodashim, shchitas and batzafan, and the blood must go on the mizbeach. But once you go and you say the word kachatas, oh, kechatos, now you're going to be misled in the other direction, that the blood goes on the top of the mizbeach, similar to a regular carbon chatos, where the blood goes on top of the mizbeach. But a regular carbon asham, the blood goes on the bottom of the mizbeach. Oh, you're right, yeah, we didn't mean that. We need another drasha to back to correct us. So what do you have to go? You have to have a 2-step process. Let the pasuk say, listen, we have a rule. Davar shel bechlal, v'yotza min hachlal, lidoin b'davar chadash. Okay, you're in trouble now. We got to bring you back. So if Mr. Rapport was writing this pasuk, he would say that this chatos, this asham, is like a regular asham. Vezehu, we wouldn't have to go say chatos, and but not holy come chatos. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. There's got to be something very profound over here. Why it says it? What?
He has a note here in the art scroll. I'm going to read it because I don't know if I fully understand it myself. He says this guilt offering is different from all other guilt offerings, in that some of its blood is applied to the body of the one who brings it. Since we might have thought that this application comes in place of the application of blood to the altar, meaning the Mizbeah, and the offering of the parts of the animal upon the Mizbeah, the scripture compares this guilt offering to a sin offering. Both are to, quote, to the Kohen with respect to the application of blood on the altar and burning of the stated parts. These are services which may be performed only by the Kohen and are part of the procedure of guilt offering on one who comes to purify himself of tzaras, just as they are part of the procedure of the sin offering. Rashi stresses the comparison is only between this guilt offering and the sin offering, for there is no reason to think that application of blood and burning of stated parts does not apply to any other guilt offering. So in other words, he's saying the uniqueness of this Asham would seem is that you apply, like you said, Rabbi Levine, you apply it to the toes or whatever it is.
Right, they just retranslating Rashi, just summarizing Rashi. I have a separate question. Rashi at the end of Rashi, the pasuk says ki kachatos ha'asham hu la'koyin kodesh kodashim hu. So this end of the words is telling us that this asham is like you have to translate it backwards. This asham is like a regular. Don't be misled and think that now that it left the group, it's not coming back. Here we're coming to return it to the group. Problem is, you're returning it to the group, but you're using an example of the group that's not accurate. It says this sin offering is like a carbon chatas. No, it's not. It's like a regular carbon asham. It should say ki asham ha asham hu la koyin.
No, he's saying he pulls it back. He says you might have thought. Look, I'm reading it again. He says maybe this asham is different from all others, that the blood they apply to the person, substitutes for the mizbeach.
Right, that's what it says in Rashi. That's what Rashi says, Mefarish.
But then he says, so the Torah compares this guilt offering, this asham, to a chatos.
Right, exactly. It's exactly what Rashi says. But then go further in the Rashi, and Rashi says, oh, Rashi quotes the whole Gemara, the whole Medrash. Oh, wait a minute, that's no good. That's no good. Because if you're comparing this asham to a carbon chatos, what would you conclude? That this particular asham of the mitzvah, its blood is applied on the top of the mizbeach and not like a regular asham, the bottom of the mizbeach. So in order to counteract that mistake, there's another pasuk later on that corrects that false presumption. Wait a minute. You don't need to go have another pasuk later on. Why don't you set the record straight right here and say, ki asham ha'asham hu la'kohen. We need a pasuk here to return this asham to the category of a regular asham, which is kodesh kodashim, which is shechit is on the north, and the blood is on the mizbeach. So, what is the halacha? The halacha will ultimately be that where will you apply the blood of this carbon asham? You will apply it on the bottom of the mizbeach, not on the top of the mizbeach.
Right.
So let the pasuk say, would it not be more accurate? Well, you would save yourself a whole step if you would just say ki asham, like a regular carbon asham, ha asham, who is this asham lakoyin kodesh kodashim hu. Because by now taking this asham and returning it to the group by comparing it to a carbon chatas, you're setting yourself up for a new complication. We're bringing you back. You're a kodesh kodashim, which means the shechita must be on the north. Number two, the blood must go on the mizbeach. Don't think that the blood you put on the mitzvah is going to be the replacement. No, you have to put the blood on the mizbeach. But wait a minute. What did you compare this new carbon asham to? To a chatos. Oh, excuse me. A chatos, its blood is put on the top of the mizbech. Do you mean to say that this carbon asham, the blood goes also on the top of the mizbech? Because ordinarily, when you bring a carbon asham, a regular standard asham, the blood goes on the bottom of the mizbech. Oh, no. We have to backtrack. We never meant that. How do I know that? We have another drasha. Another drasha. Save yourself the drasha. Just be precise. Let it say ki asham ha asham hu lakoi. That's my question, which I don't know the answer. Certainly, someone asks this question. You have to go look up the Gemara. This is according over here. Gemara over here. This is not a Gemara. This is a betoiras koyanim. We have to see the original source and see what it says there with the commentators. And maybe that is all right. It's very late. Rabbi Isai, thank you very much for coming. Tomorrow is Thursday. We'll do Siddur. We'll figure out what to do tomorrow. We'll figure out what we're going to learn tomorrow.
Haggadah? Whatever parts of the Haggadah you want, Rabbi. I know you learned it during the week, but there are different parts. Magid, something.
All right, we'll see. Maybe we'll do Haggadah. We'll see. Not a bad idea. We'll see. Okay. Okay, Rabbi Isai. Yeah,
yeah.
Good night. Thank you for coming.
Good night.
Zay gesund.
Shkoyach,
good night, Mayor. Good night, Mr. and Mrs. Glatter.